Hello guys, and welcome back to another podcast. Today I am doing a solved murder case, and this story is the story of the infamous Lizzie Borden murders. Now, I have heard of Lizzie Borden, but I don't know the full story. This takes place over the year of 1892, so a long time ago. Yes. But also, before I start, I just want to, I do have a disclaimer that I absolutely mean no harm to anyone who I talk about in this podcast. This is just a story I have found on the internet and that I am reading in my podcast. This is for educational purposes. So now that we've got that out of the way, let's get started. So, in 1892, a grisly crime rocked the quiet town of Fall River, Massachusetts. Andrew Borden and his wife Abby had been found brutally murdered, bludgeoned to death by an axe. While police didn't know who to blame at first, suspicion soon fell on Andrew's 32-year-old daughter, Lizzie Borden. A spinster and Sunday school teacher from a well-off family, Lizzie Borden, seemed like the last person capable of committing a horrific crime. But cops struggled to find any other suspects in the murder case, and they couldn't help but notice that Lizzie's story kept changing. Ultimately, the young woman never admitted to committing the murders, but her 1893 trial captivated the entire nation. And while she was eventually acquitted, this only deepened the mystery. Did Lizzie Borden kill her father and stepmother? If so, why? And if she didn't, then who did? At first, August 4th, 1892, started out as a normal day at the Borden house in Fall River, Massachusetts. The family maid, Bridget Sullivan, served breakfast to Andrew and Abby Borden while Lizzie slept upstairs. Before long, Andrew went into town, and Abby decided to straighten up the guest room in the home, where Lizzie's uncle had slept the night before. The Bordens were a prosperous family and well respected in Fall River. Andrew had been married to his first wife, Sarah, until her death, and married his second wife a few years later. His two daughters, Emma and Lizzie, were known for being well-behaved and devoutly Christian. But all was not well beneath the surface at the Borden house. Although Abby had been their stepmother nearly all their lives, Emma and Lizzie didn't like her, and Lizzie really wanted the family to move to a nicer part of town. That August, tension in the Borden family were particularly taut. For one thing, It was extremely hot outside, and the Borden family felt unwell for the past couple of days. Perhaps of a bad mutton stew. But by the morning of August 4th, everyone except Sullivan felt more or less back to normal. So after Andrew Borden left for town, Abby climbed the stairs to the guest room to make the bed and tidy up. And in the oppressive heat of that August morning, someone followed her. Later on, Andrew returned from town. He asked Lizzie where Abby had gone, to which his daughter replied that Mrs. Borden had left the house. According to Lizzie, her stepmother had received a note about a sick friend. Andrew believed the story. He settled down on the sofa in the sitting room as Sullivan, still feeling unwell, went to take a nap in her room. But soon, the maid was awoken by a scream. It was Lizzie Borden calling for Sullivan and crying that her father was dead. Shortly after the discovery of Andrew Borden's body, Sullivan fled the house to find a doctor. But in the meantime, Lizzie's screaming had attracted the attention of several neighbours, who called the police. Slowly and curious, crowd began to gather around the Borden residence. At this point, Abby's whereabouts were still unknown. Lizzie told her concerned neighbours the same story she told her father, that her stepmother had received a note asking her to visit a sick friend. Lizzie also mentioned that her parents had been ill in the previous days, and that she suspected that their milk had been poisoned. After Sullivan returned with the local doctor named Seabury Bowen, the maid went to see if Abby was upstairs and found her dead body laying face down. She was surrounded by a pool of her own blood. It was later determined that Abby Borden had been struck 19 times with a hatchet, and Andrew had been hit 11 times with the same weapon. While Andrew was hit fewer times, his corpse was extremely gruesome. One of Andrew's eyes had been cut in half, and his nose had been completely severed from his face. Meanwhile, Abby's blood was dark and congealed. This led Bowen to believe that she had been killed first. But who had killed them? Unfortunately, the case of the Borden murders would yield far more questions than answers. At first, the police did not suspect Lizzie Borden. After all, she was a spinster and Sunday school teacher from a respected family. Plus, Lizzie had sworn to District Attorney Hosea Knowlton, and that she had been in the barn looking for a piece of iron that a track took place. The cops initially believed the murders were perpetrated by a man, most likely a Fortner. Just a few hours later, they arrested an innocent Portuguese immigrant, but that assumption turned out to be one of many dead ends. a bloody hatchet was found on a neighbouring farm, but it had been used to kill chickens. A strange man was seen near the Borden's property at the same time of the murders, but he had an alright alibi. Meanwhile, Lizzie Borden's story kept changing. Her claim about searching for iron soon shifted into one about eating pears in the barn loft. There was no physical evidence against her, not even a bloody scrap of clothing. But as the police investigated the double murder, they began to believe that no one else could have done it. If Abby was killed in the same morning, the murderer, assuming it wasn't Lizzie or Sullivan, would have likely been hiding somewhere in the house for hours, awaiting Andrew's return from town. During this time, he or she would have surely risked being spotted by Lizzie or Sullivan. And what about the note Lizzie claimed her stepmother received? Abby had clearly never made it out of the house. So where was it? Lizzie told her friend Alice Russell that her stepmother may have accidentally burned it. Investigators also discovered that the day before the murders took place, Lizzie had tried to buy poisonous prussic acid from a drugstore. She claimed that she needed it to put an edge on a seal skin cap, but the clerk had refused to sell it to her, saying that she needed a prescription. And a few days after the murders, Russell saw Lizzie burning one of her dresses at the stove in her house. When Russell asked her why she was doing this, Lizzie said the dress was stained and could no longer be worn. On August 8th, Borden attended an inquest hearing during which she provided contradicting information about the murders, raising any eyebrows. By August 11th, she was arrested and put in jail. In 1893, Lizzie Borden was put on trial, and a controversial case soon captivated the nation. Newspaper headlines screamed, "Lizzie Borden defense opens." Reporters from the Boston and New York crowded the courtroom day after day, calling the Borden murder trial the Great Trial. Our proper Victorian ancestors couldn't fathom that someone among the upper class, especially a woman, would commit such a heinous crime, noted Deborah Allard, a reporter and resident of Fall River. Though Lizzie never testified during the trial, she was still the star of the show. At one point, a piece of tissue paper covering the skull of her father fell to the floor. Lizzie caught sight of the bludgeoned skull and fainted. But presenting the skulls of the Bordens turned out to work in Lizzie's favour. Her lawyer reasoned that whoever caused such damage have been covered in blood after the incident, but Lizzie's cloths were clean. This has led some to believe that she committed the murders naked. And the defense was able to further cloud the weather, the water throughout the remainder of the trial. They produce witnesses who claimed to have seen Lizzie leaving the barn at the time of the murders, and witnesses who'd seen strange characters around the Borden property. The defense was even able to get the drug clerk testimony struck from the record, calling it irrelevant and projectile. They argued that the druggist had molestified Lizzie Borden. And besides, even if Lizzie was the woman in the store, prussic acid could still be used for innocent purposes. On June 19, 1893, Lizzie was found not guilty of murdering Andrew and Abby. Soon after, the dust had settled. Lizzie and her sister Emma, who inherited their father's estate, bought a house in a more fashionable part of Fall River, where Lizzie had always wanted to live. The sisters lived peacefully together in Fall River until 1904, when Lizzie Borden, now calling herself Lizbeth, met an actress named Nance O'Neill. The pair formed a strong bond. Some speculate they were lovers, but Emma did not approve of the relationship. 2 years after Lizzie met Nance, Emma moved out of the house that she shared with Lizzie. As for Lizzie Borden, she lived out the rest of her days in relative quiet and privacy. She died in 1927 at the age of 67, taking anything she knew about the murders to her grave. Nearly a century after her death, people are still debating whether she really killed her father and stepmother or not. But if Lizzie Borden didn't commit the murders, then who did? Some think that Andrew's illegitimate son, William, committed the crime, and that Lizzie and Emma conspired to cover up his involvement. Others believe that the two sisters plotted the murders together. And another line of speculation suggests that Lizzie and Sullivan were having an affair, which somehow led to the murders. Yet others wonder if it could have been the work of someone unrelated to the family. In 2012, journalists kept by Lizzie's lawyer, Andrew Jackson Jennings, were obtained by the Fall River Historical Society. The journalists revealed Jennings' direct observations of his client, who history remembers as cold-blooded and callous. But Jennings saw a sensitive side to Lizzie, a woman grieving for the loss of her loved ones. However, these notebooks did not bring the public any closer to knowing who actually killed the Bordens. And so, the mystery endures as the popular rhyme about the Borden murders. Lizzie Borden took an axe and gave her mother 40 whacks. When she saw what she had done, she gave her father 41. And that's the end of this podcast. I hope you all enjoyed it. like I said, I have heard of this story due to one person on YouTube that I watch who does paranormal investigations. So yes, I'm not sure how popular it is actually, but yes. So I hope you all enjoyed, and I will upload another podcast on Monday. Bye guys.